This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
We're going to talk with Bob Arrington. Bob is a retired engineer living in Battlement Mesa. That's in Colorado, where up to 200 natural gas wells have been proposed in that one area alone. Bob is chair of the Energy Committee of the Western Colorado Congress. He testified before the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Bob champions the health impacts of oil and gas, has led local air monitoring efforts, and takes international media around the gas fields. Bob, thank you so much for joining us on Radio EcoShock.
Well, it's my pleasure to join you.
In a press conference for the new report, Gone for Good, you had serious concerns about fracking in Colorado. Please go ahead and tell us about that.
The forum that I spoke in before was primarily concerned about the hydrology and the loss of waters in the injection process and the poisoning with dangerous chemicals. So we have several problems here with the fracking and the flow back that comes from the fracking and the air quality measures and the water quality measures and problems that are just seemingly endless. And in some cases, there's control measures done, but not in all cases. So basically on that hydrology issue, we had a problem and a solution and an action that I had talked about. Colorado is a headwater state, and all the water flows out of it. So any water that we maintain is through reservoir systems or anything like that, but we have downstream commitments, and those people are also wanting good quality water as it goes down there. And so the competition for the water in this state is heavy, and yet we have a reservoir that is a flood control reservoir south of Denver that is 2,700 acre feet, and the amount of water that is used in fracking could, in 2012 alone, drain that reservoir in 1.25 years. Here on the west slope, almost all the water goes into our Colorado River, with the southern part of the western slope going into the Rio Grande River as major rivers flowing out. On the eastern slope, we have the Platte River and the Arkansas as the major drainages going out. So the amount of water that's used is just tremendous. Like I said, it drained that Chatfield Reservoir. And with the horizontal drilling, the fracking water requirements are going up to 3 to 6 million gallons per well bore, as opposed to maybe a million used now. On the air quality, we have here in Battlement, we did talk our county commissioners into doing a health study for the effects. The end result was a McKinsey report that came out that said people were going to endure health effects at a half a mile away from the drilling under the present way they do things. This was also confirmed by a Theo Colburn study that not only confirmed the half a mile, but also confirmed some new chemicals that we hadn't seen before. But in this, as a solution, Colorado's got to step forward through their Colorado Oil and Gas Commission and tighten those regulations. Now, last year we did score a minor victory in the fact that we got a 500-foot setback put in, but by the same token, we had a ring of safety study that showed that 1,000-foot was more or less the minimum distance for damages. And if anything went on for 24 hours, such as a fire or incident, why, it could seriously damage property around. And our action has been to get the government and the governor and the COGCC to move forward on these and get the rules in place to make the operations far more safe.
First of all, let's talk about this 500-foot setback. I understand that some people in the states do not own the rights to what's under the ground. So that means that an oil or gas company could come right up to within 500 feet of somebody's house and just put in a fracking well?
Yes, that's correct.
And there's nothing you can do about it?
There's nothing you can do about it. Colorado is a split estate, as is most of the nation. So those mineral owners can get those rights. Now, the one thing that has happened is with the horizontal drilling, they can reach up to 2 miles or more in any direction out from the well pad. And slowly they're finding that it's more economical to set up once instead of moving the rig over and over again. Still, it hasn't taken effect. The distance was much less than 500 feet. It was 300 and 150, depending upon the circumstances involved. Now, the way the rule was written, of course, if a property owner agrees to them coming closer, they can even come closer than that 500 feet.
Well, that'd be some neighbor to have. It's noisy, it's dangerous, it's smelly. We can't see the methane or most of these volatile chemicals they're fracking with. I've seen video with special filters that show methane and other toxic gases just pouring out of these newly fracked wells, billowing out in clouds for as long as 2 weeks before they even cap it off and then leaking after that. What are the health impacts of breathing that stuff?
One of the big volatile chemicals that comes off is the BTEX group. And that's benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, and xylene. Those chemicals, the two benzenes are both carcinogens, and the xylene and toluene are both poisons. So it's a real mess, and those are the critical chemicals to watch coming off there. But they've got, I'd have to dig into the reports because the names get to be a mile long on some of the bad news chemicals. But in that TDEX report of Colburn's lists, what they found is an added thing. Now, Colorado has, and Garfield County has, scheduled a air quality monitoring setup. And the Colorado State University is coming in to perform that, and it'd be a 3-year study. However, of course, right now the drilling is in a slowdown because of the low price of gas across the nation. Then, too, the big oil rush up in North Dakota has taken quite a few of the rigs up that way. But the Niobrara on the eastern slope of Colorado has opened up oil there. So Weld County and the counties over there, they've had quite an air quality problem going on. It's the type of thing that NOAA got into the thing and seen these high concentrations of like benzene and whatnot, and they attributed it directly to the drilling programs going on there. As far as methane, the methane, as far as a human problem, it's not a toxic gas in any way. But what it does do, as they lose 6 to 12% in gathering and getting this stuff into pipelines, it adds to the global warming thing because methane is 20 times as powerful as CO2 as a greenhouse gas. And it can reside in the atmosphere anywhere from 10 to 20 years.
And have people in Colorado complained about developing strange illnesses that they might attribute to fracking?
Yes, and this has been a real problem because people go to their individual doctors. The doctors are not quite sure because they don't know which chemicals that these people may have been exposed to or what they've got around. So the treatment thing can be problematic. Colorado enacted a rule by which they would have to disclose to doctors when they put together with a drilling operation or somebody poisoned in that way and they come in. But the doctors had to sign a confidentiality waiver and couldn't share the information. And there's been such a hullabaloo about that why they relaxed the rule to say, well, we'll modify that you can share it with your other medical professionals. But it's been a real fight that way, and only now are the problems really coming to light because it's been denied, denied, denied by the industry.
Right, and people who do get sick, of course, they feel very isolated and it affects them financially. It's a very difficult problem to deal with. I'd like to get back to the water thing. I mean, Colorado, as you say, it's the beginning of a whole bunch of river systems. It's very important. I've seen photos from space that show that Colorado is generally drying out, probably due to climate change, but it also goes through regular natural cycles like that. Been tremendous fires in Colorado, and now we're removing this water. It sounds like a bad scene.
Well, yes, Colorado's experienced a heavy drought. Some of the peak temperature variations occurred in northeastern Colorado, and it went through the whole Midwest from Texas to Canada. It's been a real problem, and of course, what we've seen was horrific forest fires in the summer that we had, what was it, almost 300 homes or better wiped out last year from forest fires. And the Colorado, of course, would flow out there, but it does go dry from all the use that's put on it. And Colorado's bound by the Colorado River Compact to make sure that we don't hold back anything that would be allocated to somebody downstream. Now, the Rio Grande, it's another river that runs dry by the time it gets through Texas. So the Platte and the Arkansas do find their way to the Mississippi. However, on the Arkansas, Kansas had just a couple of years ago won a lawsuit by which Colorado was withholding too much water there and they had to release more. So we had to drain some of our reservoirs to get back some of that water to Kansas. And water is a major issue, and unfortunately, the state and the health departments have seen fit to put the allowable levels for some of the frack waters or produced waters from wells to be disposed of after minor treatment. As we found out in Pennsylvania, where they were experiencing more radioactive water coming out of there, the treatment facilities just weren't equipped to handle the radioactivity that they were dumping down in the rivers. They like to delineate produced water from their fracking flowback, but about 50%, somewhere close to 50% of their frack waters doesn't flow back immediately. It comes out over the life of the well. So these produced waters have heavy metals, arsenic, cadmium. They have radioactivity. They're a very heavy brine from the salts that are there. They're a mixture such that when they dump it on the ground someplace, it kills the vegetation.
Well, I thought all of that was being put back in deep injection wells, but you're saying some of it can actually make it into our river systems?
Yes, it can. And the deep injection wells is the worst of the worst of the brines. Sometimes here in Colorado, what they're doing is they're recycling it some for rework fracking or whatnot. And after it's been recycled once and then it comes out, they almost always have to take that and put it in the deep injection wells. Now, that water, once it goes into deep injection wells, it's gone for our lifetime unless somebody comes up with the technology to draw it back out and remove all those poisons and toxins and carcinogens from that water. Some processes like reverse osmosis and stuff could, but it would be cheaper not to use that water in the first place. Just as a minor note, they can frack with liquid natural gas itself. They can also use nitrogens, and there's a couple of other processes, but these are more expensive than the cheap water they can get.
Well, they're not really paying what that water costs. Bob Arrington, what drove you to become an activist and to speak out about this?
Well, as a retired person and getting involved in this and seeing the technology that is available that they still won't use and how slow they are in responding to that and our needs for the gas and stuff right now, I started getting interested as an engineer. And I said, why aren't these problems being taken care of? So first off, you end up identifying the problems, and then once you see the magnitude of those problems, you say, wait a minute, this has got to slow down. This has got to stop until we are ready to do it right and responsibly. And of course, you know, bottom lines are the biggest driving force in any sharply run company. And unfortunately, those profit margins is what's causing our problems out there in the health and the contamination of the environment.
You've been listening to Bob Arrington. He's a retired engineer in Battlement Mesa, Colorado. He's the chair of the Energy Committee of the Western Colorado Congress. Bob, thank you for telling us what the big energy companies don't want to tell us.
All right, my pleasure.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.